podcasts of this and other shows are now available on supertalk1270.com.
Tech Ranch, live and local here on Supertalk 1270. The latest gadgets, online security, websites and apps, social media, and so much more. How can technology help you? Let's find out. It's time for the Tech Ranch on Supertalk 1270.
From our studio in beautiful Mandan, North Dakota, along the mighty Missouri River, here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
Welcome to the Tech Ranch, everyone. Do you ever feel lost trying to navigate through Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and all those other social media pages? Our in-studio guest, Sandy McMurdy from the senior, she is... Boy, oh boy, you know it's Monday, don't you?
Is
the senior. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Give that man some caffeine. Big time.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Yeah, but Sandy's the Senior Communications Director and Emerging Technologies Manager for the North Dakota Department of Commerce, and she'll be providing a path through all the confusion, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. We'll also be talking about more of my choices for the Innovative Products of 2012. And Jim Walsh is our producer extraordinaire today. How you
Hello.
Doing, Jim?
Not too shabby.
Good.
Not bad.
And, of course, we got to throw this out. We are a new member of the Tech Podcast Network, which
yes.
I know you're very, very excited about. So now we are on the Roku, on Google TV, Apple TV.
Are we on TV right now?
We are, actually. Well, you know, we don't have any cameras in here, of course.
Oh, no,
because at least I know I have a face for radio, as they say. So it's good that we're not broadcasting
I'm
that
way.
I'm
glad you said it, so I didn't have to.
One of these days, though, I know they're talking to us about doing something along those lines.
Sure.
But anyway, are
that
you...
That means I can't stick my finger in my nose or anything while we're... While
that's
we're
correct. The, you can still do that now, but you can't do that in a few weeks when we
thanks
do
so
that.
Much,
yeah.
Marlo.
So do you fish?
Do I fish?
Yes.
When I was a kid, I'd go fishing with my dad. He was a saltwater fisherman.
Okay.
Fished out in the ocean. He had a boat. We'd get in the boat, go out in the ocean about 5-6 miles, and we'd just have a great time.
Cool. Well, as you know, I kind of enjoy featuring unique innovations, and on the line today is Uncle Ray from Uncle Ray's Filet Buddy. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, we're excited to have you on. And before we get into your newest product, which is what I have you on here for, why don't you tell us a little bit about your company?
Well, we have Uncle Ray's Filet Buddy. That is a tool that, to assist or to make cleaning fish a lot easier, filleting your fish. We have it at a number of places around the state, and we do sell it at Pride Dakota and online at www.uncleray'sfiletbuddy.com. Uncle Ray's Filet Buddy.
All right. And you've been a Pride of Dakota member for quite a few years, and you and I have talked over the years, but I had the opportunity to see you over the last couple weekends at the Pride of Dakota shows, and you have a very, very busy booth. And as I'm standing back watching this, I just couldn't imagine that everybody was there buying the Filet Buddy. So why don't you tell me about your newest innovation?
Well, the newest innovation is I have a, we call it the Uncle Ray's Handy Dandy Filet Board. It started because the Game of Fish closes all their fishing stations down.
Okay.
The 1st of September, and there's no place to clean your fish. So I came up with a board that you can put on your tailgate and it holds a regular grocery bag, and you can clean your fish into a bag. And... without making a mess, and it's a nice, easy place to do your fish.
Sure. And it is very, very unique. I will have to give you that. And, of course, people who enjoy fishing and needing to fillet those fish on site or whatever, this gives them a great way to do that.
Right. And with that, you can also use it in home and garden. I made 4 different sizes. I realized that there's more use for it than just filleting fish, so you can use it.
And that's what intrigued me a little bit, Ray. You know, I noticed that, and I'm not saying that fishing is predominantly a male sport, but it probably, you know, you probably have more men than women that fish. And I noticed at your booth over the weekend that you had more women at your booth than men.
you know, you're right. You know, I sort of really enjoy that. I think the women are more inquisitive. And when they see how this works, they buy them for their men for, like, the holidays, their birthdays, Christmas, and And then the guys come back later and tell us how great this tool works.
Right. You know? Well, and I think one of the other things that I noticed is that with your new cutting board, that the home and garden version of this is what's got a lot of people clamoring. So why don't you explain again about how this works and maybe paint us a picture with words as to what's unique about this cutting board.
Well, I've put some suction cups on, so you can use it in your kitchen. And it's got slots in it. When everybody gets grocery bags, when they're or your plastic grocery bags when they're buying groceries, and they hook on there, and it automatically holds your bag open. So it works so well. You can put it on the counter, it'll stick there, and you just clean your food or vegetables, and it puts right into the bag.
Right,
and
so
you close the bag up and put it in the trash and wash your board, and away you go.
So on the one end of it is kind of a hole, and then you have a clip type of thing that you attach this grocery bag to, and then like if you're cutting onions and you want to dispose of the onion skins or whatever, instead of trying to find a way to the garbage can, you actually just push them right into this bag that you have,
and you just slide them in that slot.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And Ray, I think where can people find this at?
Well, right now you can find it down at Wade Anderson's at Dakota Tackle, and we'll be at we'll be at Pride Dakota now in Bismarck. It's pretty new, so we don't have a whole bunch of places established yet, but we sure will have them down at Pride Dakota also.
Okay, and of course online at UncleRay'sFiletBuddy.com, UncleRay'sFiletBuddy.com. So, all right, Ray, we really appreciate you being on the show today, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks at the Bismarck Pride of Dakota show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ray. All right, and then we're going to get right into, you're probably wondering why we're bringing that up, but I love to have local innovations as well on this program, but we're going to get into some of my picks for the 2012 Innovative Products of the Year. And Jim and Sandy, I want you to kind of pipe in on these a little bit too. My first choice is the motion-activated screwdriver. And what happens is it's an electric screwdriver that when you tilt it to the right a little bit, it'll actually automatically put that screw right into the board or whatever.
It'll
right
turn.
And tidy it.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't have to push a trigger or whatever. You just move it slightly, and it just automatically goes, which I think is kind of cool.
So if you have carpal tunnel, I guess it'd be great.
There's, I think, a lot of uses for this, of course. The fact, and I agree with you, you know, the fact that you have to hold that trigger down all the time.
Yeah.
If you're doing a lot of, if you're a carpenter or whatever, doing a lot of that type of work, I can see where that would be a little difficult after a while.
Actually, for people with decreased mobility, that's an excellent tool.
Yes.
So if you can grasp the tool but don't have the strength to push down the button,
you can
knock it back and forth. It's a great assistive device.
Yep. And the technology came about because of the geosyncing that they're, or not geosyncing, but the gyroscope.
Oh, like in your phone. You can download the app that lets you drink fake beer.
Exactly.
Wow. We've applied it to screwdrivers.
And beer all at the same time. I like that. Yeah. Okay. My next one, and I think this is absolutely an amazing product, is called LiquiGlide. Our LiquiGlide. That's LiquiGlide. And it's a coating that can go on almost anything, and it makes it very, very slippery. So imagine the inside of a ketchup bottle, and the ketchup literally just slides right out of the bottle. They can use this to put on airplane wings for de-icing purposes, and the ice just literally falls right off. And it's a microscopic slippery coating, and it is a – I'm trying to read through all my stuff here, but I know that it is a plant-based – yeah, it's a plant-based product on top of it, so which I think is pretty cool. The next one has huge implications, and I'm going to mess up the saying of this, but it's the Elio Domestico Solar Water Distiller. And what it does is you pour – seawater or whatever you want into this device, it's polluted water, whatever, and then it distills the water via solar power, and then you have drinkable water.
So not only green, but fun to say.
Yes, yeah. Elio Domestico. So
sounds like you're yodeling.
Kind of.
Elio.
And it is an open source project, by the way. Freelance designer Gabrielle Diamati developed this thing, and the plans are online. And the idea behind this is so that third world countries can have safe drinking water. I think it's a huge deal. It really is. Now, going into technology, have you heard about these? The Enable Talk Gloves.
The Enable Talk Gloves?
Like, yes.
Fit them on your fingers?
Yes.
Type gloves?
Yes.
I haven't.
This is absolutely amazing. People who are hearing impaired put these gloves on, and there's an app for your phone. And as they're signing to you, if you do not speak sign language,
it'll pick up what they're saying.
That's correct.
Oh, my gosh.
How cool is that?
Amazing.
That's awesome.
It really
is. I am
is.
Impressed.
The gloves are only $75. So if you are...
So the person who's signing has to wear the gloves?
Has to wear the gloves. Oh. And then you put the app on your phone if you're speaking with that person. And then, yes. Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah.
That's really
that
cool.
It really is. And I think the price point is amazing.
$75. That's great.
Absolutely amazing. Self-inflating tires. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the gel type of stuff that goes in. These tires actually will inflate on their own if they go below a certain pressure. Hmm. It uses the flat spot on your tire, you know, as you're driving on the road. Of course, what's meeting the road is a little flatter, and uses that to inflate your tires back up to pressure.
So it kind of measures how much surface area is hitting based on the pressure in the
That's
tire
correct.
And adjusts.
That's correct. Very cool. $200 a tire is what they're estimating. So actually...
That's about what a tire is, though.
Yeah. So I don't think that's even... No, I don't think so at all. This one is very intriguing, too. It's called Bounce Imaging. Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bounce Imaging.
Yes, yes. What it is if you're an emergency respondent, if you're on a SWAT team or a fire crew or whatever...
EMT.
And you need to see what's going on inside of the building. It is a ball. And you throw the ball into the burning building, and it has six cameras built into this thing, and it'll shoot images back to your computer so you can see what's going on inside the structure before you go in.
The way I heard it was, it's a, you know how they send drones into buildings,
yes.
video drones, that this is like a cheap alternative for SWAT teams
yes.
and others to use
yes.
as a way to gather inside building intel.
Right. $500 is what this thing costs.
Yeah.
So it is a very, very inexpensive way to do this.
My kids should be scared. I can just give that to them to play with.
Just throw it in there. That's right. That's right. Interesting. Okay. Next one. And this blows me away. Google Glasses. Have you seen these things?
Google Glasses.
It's called Google Glass, actually.
Google Glass.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
There is a... It's a weird type looking glass or glasses that you will wear, and it actually brings augmented reality to life. Meaning that if you want to, you can say, take a photo, and it'll take a photo, okay? Or you're looking at a building and you need to know the address. What's the address of this building? I mean, and it'll actually show it in a very small display in these glasses.
So it's sort of like taking your Google web page interface to a voice-activated
something
experience.
That you wear, yes. Yeah.
It's like the guy in Star Trek, the blind guy who had these
Geordi,
glasses.
Yeah, Geordi, wore that
yes.
banana clip.
And the glasses could do anything for him. They
yes.
could see for him and take
yep.
pictures.
Yes,
that.
Yeah. That's a pretty amazing technology. And I know we're at the break here, Jim, so we're gonna move into that. And we'll continue our discussion on the innovative products of 2012 after we come back. And we'll be talking about Dart to Sandy, too, about social media. So come on back, everybody.
The holiday. You're listening to SuperTalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
At facebook.com/thetechranch or Twitter at Guru of Geek or at www.thetechranch.com. Here again is your Guru of Geek, Marlo Anderson.
Thank you, Mia, and welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. We're talking about our or my choices for innovative products of 2012 with Sandy McMurdy.
Okay, I don't know. It's the toughest name in the world.
It
to
is
say.
Not that tough. I can't
Trust
believe I'm
me,
saying that.
You should
that.
See the mail I get. Even people who type it can't spell it. So,
but it's just McMurdy. It's not a big deal. But
it's one
yeah.
of those names that you just can't help but go into an Irish brogue when you say
I know.
It.
It's got to be McMurdy. You got to roll the
I like that. McMurdy. Yes, I like that. All right, my last choice is the MakerBot Replicator 2. And I know I talked about this a little bit last week and kind of ran out of time, but Jim and I were talking a little bit about this. But Sandy, are you
gray hot?
There we go with the Star Trek things. That's pretty good. Yeah. You could be a Jean-Luc Picard. So,
is that a reference to my hairline?
We are so lucky there is no video.
That's right. Today, anyway. Get your finger on your nose, Jim. Anyway, the MakerBot replicator. Sandy, are you familiar with 3D printers?
I have not seen a 3D printer.
Okay, but you're familiar with them.
I do know they exist.
Yeah, they are very, very cool, and I'm just going to hold up my cell phone here. You can actually print the case of this cell phone, or you can print this plastic bottle, or these headphones. You know, whatever is a plastic, you can actually print these things out. And you just design it in a CAD program on your computer, and then instead of inkjet, inks going through these print heads, it's a plastic called PLA that'll just layer it down and
so it
create these
like
things.
Like a polymer example of whatever
yes,
you're
yes,
wow.
yes. But if you wanted to print a plastic fork, for example, you could literally print it and then use it.
Oh my God, the spork will never die due to this technology. It will spork forever.
But it is, I think it's very, very, very cool. And the price point is only $1,800 for these things now. So they used to be about $50,000.
It'd be cool, though, if you're an entrepreneur or an inventor who needs some little widgets.
Yes.
That'd be a great way to
yes.
just knock out some widgets.
Yeah. And I can see a ton of applications, you know, like in agriculture. Yeah. Oil fields, whatever. If you got to make up a part and don't really know how, you know, there's just a ton of ways that you can use this thing. So I think it's very, very cool.
That's
so
cool.
Anyway, those are my choices for 2012 Innovative Product of the Year.
And
thank
the
you very much.
Cheered. Yay!
Yes, yes. All right, we're gonna move on to social media now. We have Sandy McMurdy. I'm butchering her name again, but
you
she
well.
Is
well.
The Senior Communications and Emerging Technologies Manager for the
North Dakota Department of Commerce.
There it is, right there in my notes, yes. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Hey, thanks, Marlon.
Hey, it's been fun to have you on here so far. And we've only talked for a year about having you on this show, so I've been very excited to be here.
And what's funny is everyone's like, well, you know Marlon Anderson. I'm like, well, of course we know each other. But I think we've met like twice.
Yes.
We know each other strictly through social media.
Yes, yes. We've been probably to a couple of meetings at the state or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's exactly right. So it's pretty cool.
We're old friends in the
medium.
That's
right. That's right. So why don't you, you know, I know Facebook and Twitter, Pinterest, these are mediums that people use all the time now, but it is kind of confusing, and I think a lot of people really have a lot of problems when Facebook changes their interface and that type of thing.
You know, we're North Dakotans. We absolutely embrace change as long as we don't have to do anything different.
Exactly. So I would like to hear some of your tips, I guess, on how – and we'll just start with Facebook, and I really want to get into Pinterest later in the show. That is like the fastest-growing website ever, is it not?
And over Christmas, it just jumps because everyone and their grandmother is going to craft something on Pinterest.
Sure.
So it's a great time to kind of start exploring it if you
haven't
been there yet.
Yes, but we'll start with Facebook. And what do you think of the timeline thing? You know, I know it's been around now for 4 or 5 months, but are you a fan of it? Or?
I actually really like timeline.
Okay.
I know it's a tough change and it takes a while to adjust to it, but it's a really great way when you look back to categorize information, especially if you're coming at it from like the Department of Commerce, for instance. I can go back 2 years very quickly without having to scroll and scroll and scroll and see what did I say around this particular topic or that particular topic a few years ago. And it also helps kind of if you want to start thinking about how you group your information or pull things for later. So let's say we get a request for information. Now I have a way to do that and go back in time kind of to grab things in an easy manner. So I actually really like the new structure. I think it categorizes things a little bit better in terms of how you are posting. And I think some of the interaction actually, which I can't always figure out. Facebook loves to play with an algorithm.
They do, yes.
You know, so you can't always figure out how things are coming up, but I'm liking how it's adjusting as more people are rolling over.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of the stream and the wall and all of that's coming kind of better into alignment. You're seeing more things that are of the interest that you want to see.
Sure, sure. And, you know, Facebook, I suppose they probably never dreamed in a million years that it would be as large as it is. So they have to kind of adjust as they move forward, too, and see what people's interests are and how they can make their product better, of course.
They do, and they've trained us all to have, you know, a 20-second attention span, and they are the grandfather of social media.
Yes.
I mean, we've been playing in Facebook since 2004 as a business, but Facebook's been around for a lot longer. I mean, this was a college kids network when it started. So they're now in a weird position. They're kind of grandma kettle in the room, and they've got to stay valid. And they've got to stay up to date and relevant. So they're going to be switching things up on us from time to time because they can't be beat out by the next best thing if they want longevity.
Right.
So they've got to stay current.
So I want your input a little bit on how you use Facebook in, you know, for the state.
Yeah.
And then I'd like to hear a little bit about how you're using it personally. So let's look on the business side first.
Sure.
And how does the state of North Dakota use Facebook effectively?
So there's a number of different applications. So at Commerce, we're more of a marketing agency. Commerce houses tourism, economic development, workforce development, community services. And then we also house the ambassador program, which I'm involved with. So our social media is really about good feelings, positive things, talking about, you know, where the state is going and the things that we're doing good in North Dakota. So there's some good activity there, and we engage pretty heavily with our users. So there's two or three or four of us on staff that are looking at our social media channels daily and, you know, responding to people. And we've got really good dialogue going with not only our members and our followers and those who like us, but with news media and others. So we've really created this two-way communication tool. And that's how I see Facebook really used by us, is it's a communication tool. It's not marketing for us. It's a way for us to create that dialogue.
Okay.
And then for other state agencies, it's a little different. Not every other agency has that marketing kind of arm like
right,
we do.
Right.
But it's been a great resource. If you look at the Department of Transportation, they're a great user. They put out wonderful information. National Guard, the Secretary of State just recently got involved. Emergency Management, DES, Division of Emergency Services, put out great information through the entire flood. So there's some really great applications for getting good information to the public in a medium where the public now is. So I think that's the key part is,
right.
We as state government need to adjust.
Right, exactly. Now let's talk a little bit about the ambassador program a little bit. I, of course, am an ambassador as well, and I absolutely love this program. Do you feel that Facebook has allowed that program to flourish?
Absolutely.
Okay, so how do you use Facebook with the ambassadors?
Well, so the ambassadors program is really a volunteer sales force for the state. So these are people who have agreed that, yes, we love North Dakota. We want to talk positively. When I came on the program, we were doing some email and other things. There was about 1,600 members. We're just about 9,000 if you count all of our social networks now.
Very cool.
And so whenever we're putting out information about, you know, North Dakota ranks number one in this, or the state is active here or there, or, hey, check out the 123 ways to love North Dakota.
Yeah.
That's going farther and faster, and that media and news clippings that we are getting about the state of North Dakota are now available to public who don't get the Tribune or who don't get the Fargo Forum.
Right.
It's now available to that wide audience.
Right.
So
right.
It's a great way for us to tell our story.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And when we come back from the break, everybody, we'll continue our conversation with Sandy McMurdy and social media. So come on back.
You're listening to SuperTalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
Stream this program now at supertalk1270.com. Here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
Welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. Sandy McMurdy from the North Dakota Department of Commerce. She's the Senior Communications and Emerging Technologies Manager, and we are having an in-depth conversation about social media. And we were just talking about the ambassador program for the state of North Dakota and how Facebook has influenced that. So we'll continue that conversation. And Sandy, you have any final thoughts maybe on how Facebook has changed how you communicate with the ambassadors?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's for the ambassadors, it's a way for them to also communicate with us. You know, so it's not one way, which is what the real key piece of social media is. So we're getting, you know, not only photos, but questions from people who are out of state who want to relocate to North Dakota, who find the page and have questions. And the cool part is it's not just Commerce communicating with them. It's all the other ambassadors. So if somebody posts a question or has information, or even if they post something negative, we have ambassadors who are saying, nope, that's not the way it is.
Right.
Here's some great information. Have you checked out this? Have you connected? So
right.
It's those connections that are really key, and it's been great for the state of North Dakota in terms of not only getting them information that they might not have known about the state, but them sharing this, you know, North Dakota's roots. It
right.
really lives
right.
through them, and so they can share that information back, which is great.
So, you know, I love your comment about negative. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that, you know, as a business, a lot of times you don't want to hear about the negative things that people have to say about you or maybe a product or an issue that they're having with the product on a social media page. Why do you disagree with that?
I 100% disagree. Negative is really your opportunity for customer service. So it could be, if it's a post that's defamatory, derogatory, whatever, ditch it. Get rid of it. I totally agree with that. There's no reason for us to be disrespectful in social media. But if somebody comments and has a concern, that's a way for you to either address that concern, or it might be a way for you to say, you know what, you're right. We didn't know we were acting that way. Let us improve. And I'll tell you, you will get a better more loyal, more dedicated customer out of most of those negative comments than you will out of any of the others. So I really see them as an avenue.
Do you have any specific examples maybe that you can think of? Okay, go ahead and throw one out there.
I had a great example. I had a woman from Bowman who I posted something about North Dakota really doing a good job with being greener. And she, it had to do with an energy story. She came back and just blasted me about she can't even find one recycling joint in Bowman and just kind of slammed me for it. And I came back and said, you know, you're right. We could be doing a better job as a state, and I'm glad there's concerned citizens like yourself out there who are willing to help us move that. And she came back with this glowing comment, and this all happened in about 3 minutes, by the way, because social media is fast.
Sure.
And so she came back with a glowing comment about, you're right, I can help make a difference. I can start seeking out ways to make my community better. And so her comment was, you bet, you're right, we can all do better. So, I mean, that was a pretty big slam on North Dakota originally that turned out to be this great citizen motivation kind of element.
And now you have somebody in Bowman that is actually,
and
very wonderful.
And it was because somebody actually listened. You know, if people ignore that comment, of course she's going to feel that way forever.
Yes.
But you have to acknowledge that not everyone agrees with your position.
Yep.
And that buys you all kinds of grace. So.
And you can use this, you know, I have many examples in business as well, too. You know, somebody has a problem with one of our products or whatever that we have sold in the past. And if you engage your customer on social media, they know that the rest of the world can see this too.
Exactly.
And I think that kind of brings maybe a little peace of mind, a little reassurance that your company cares about what you're doing. And that goes a long ways. It really does.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, the best example I can give you is if you buy a product and you're having a hard time with it, let's say you bought it from Best Buy. If you go out and say, this darn TV from Best Buy is not working, I guarantee you if you do that on Twitter, you'll have a response in less than 20 minutes.
Yes.
From Best Buy.
Because
they watch that. And so what if we all could get our questions answered in no time? And what if our customer service requests really could become more of a dialogue rather than you making a phone call, waiting to press 4, waiting to press 7, waiting to press 9, wondering if you're ever going to get there? So it's pretty cool the level of interaction that you can give a customer. And I think that's really the key because it is happening in a visual place where the world can see it. It keeps all of us more real and more respectful. And
it almost gives a customer some leverage to use that social media to maybe get a response from the company, like you're talking. I mean, you know, to make a phone call, a lot of times you get absolutely nowhere.
Well, and we talk about how word of mouth buys or sells your product.
Yep.
Well, so now take word of mouth to word of millions because I can put my mouth anywhere. Now, that's not a good thing to do, but I can put it on social media.
Sure.
You know, so I can tweet it or put it on Facebook and my friends and their friends and whoever's connected with me can see my unhappiness, but they can also see my satisfaction.
Yep.
So that's the key thing. That negative isn't always a negative, and you're not going to win over everybody.
Yep.
But, boy, people sure like it when you acknowledge that you hear them.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So let's move to Facebook now on a personal level. What do you use Facebook for, you know, in your everyday life?
I sort of tease that I live my life as a movie starring me. And so Facebook has kind of become my mini blog, so to speak.
Okay.
I don't have a personal blog. While I believe in it and totally champion it, I believe you got to do it well. And I just don't have the time right now running a life and a full-time job and a full-time family. So Facebook's kind of my mini blog. You can check in and I do a lot of stuff about kids. I connect with family. I post stuff about tech. And so it's a bit of my personality on paper, so to speak, in the digital world.
So do you do any, you know, like, you know, if you have a birthday party, do you post the event type of thing on there and that type of thing too?
Yeah, sometimes. It depends. I do a lot of stuff for the Down syndrome community. And so I do a lot of posting for them. And I kind of cross all worlds. So it just depends on what I'm interested in at the moment. You can see it. You know, sometimes I grab stuff that we're doing for the ambassadors and use that as a tool as well. But I really see it as a way for me to connect and kind of be anecdotal and entertaining and see people. And I always tease people that I didn't have friends before I had Facebook because I didn't have time. And so now at least I feel like I'm connecting with folks. So that's
I agree with that, actually. It does allow you that opportunity to connect with a lot more people in a lot shorter period of time and kind of keep up with them. You know, you always hear the comment that you don't want to hear about people, you know, what they're having for lunch or whatever.
In the political season, I heard more people just like, oh, my God, I'm so tired of this. But you know, it's social media for a reason. It's really my avenue for social. I'm not, you know, I don't go out for drinks after work, and I'm not getting together with friends a lot. But social media and Facebook and Twitter and all of those really encompass that kind of interaction for me.
Yep. Well, let's move into Twitter a little bit now.
Yeah.
you're a big fan of Twitter.
I am.
I hardly use Twitter.
Well, I've been worse. I'm a big fan of Twitter when I have time, but Twitter is a time engagement
It is,
piece.
Yes.
And so as my time goes up and down, so does my Twitter use.
So let's, first of all, for those of you who are not using Twitter, or maybe who don't even understand what Twitter is, let's just start there. What is Twitter?
Twitter really is saying things about yourself in 140 characters or less. And if I was going to explain them to you, if we jump to LinkedIn, I have kind of an analogy I use for LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.
Okay.
LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter are all kind of similar. LinkedIn is really like the office. You talk about things that you're doing in your job. You talk about things that are on your resume. It's like standing at the office water cooler. Facebook's like going to the barbecue. You're connecting with friends. Some people from the office are there. But you're really doing a more social interaction. And Twitter's like the bar. It's random. Everybody's talking a language you don't always understand. And until you've had a few drinks, none of it makes sense.
Okay.
Because it's all these short 140-character stories with a lot of symbols and acronyms that don't quite get there. But it's a great way and a great interface. It's really like thinking about chatting. It's really online chat.
So do you have any examples where Twitter has made a difference, you know, in our world?
Well, I can tell you how it's made a difference for commerce.
Okay.
So I can watch a stream and looking for North Dakota, see that a Wall Street Journal reporter is in the state, send them a direct tweet or a message, and influence how they write that story or make that connection. So I can use that as a tool to help better promote North Dakota as a positive place to live, work, and play.
Okay. Okay. And we're going to stop you right there because we're going to go to a break, but we're going to continue our talk about Twitter and then move into Pinterest after the break. I also have a story that I want to share about Twitter that I think has a dramatic impact as well. So come on back, everybody.
Catch this and other podcasts of Supertalk 1270 online at supertalk1270.com.
Everywhere he goes, post your comments or questions at thetechranch.com. Let's head back to the studio and join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. Sandy McMurdy from the North Dakota Department of Commerce. Here we go with that Monday thing again. Senior Communications and Emerging Technologies Manager, and we're having a discussion about Twitter. Welcome back to the show, Sandy.
Hey, thanks.
All right. My story. I was in Dallas-Fort Worth area the 1st of April. And I'm not a big Twitter user. I just have never really cared for the media. However, there was a tornado outbreak while we were there. And I thought it would be a unique opportunity to check out Twitter. So I was sitting in a coffee shop and watching the local reports coming across the television screen. And I set up a stream just to monitor what was going on.
Like a Twitter search?
Yes, exactly. And there was no warnings or anything. I mean, just all of a sudden, they expected some thunderstorms, but there was no tornado advisory or whatever going on. So anyway, it just was a big surprise to everybody. And during the course of the day, 18 tornadoes in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I actually credit Twitter to saving lives that day because people were posting that there was a tornado at the intersection of Kelly and whatever, and I would see that on the stream.
You had this live stream
event. Yes. And then 30 seconds later, the television station had it streaming across the thing that we have an actual report of a tornado at the intersection of Kelly or at the ballpark at Arlington or whatever. And people were literally watching that, reporting it, and taking cover. And
were citizen reporters.
Yes, that's exactly what Twitter became. Mm-hmm. And you think about that. You have 18 tornadoes, all that damage that happened in Fort Worth. I mean, we've all seen the footage of the semi-trailers going up in the air or whatever. Nobody died. Nobody. How's that possible?
That's amazing.
I give Twitter all the credit in the world for that. So I always tell people that even if you don't use Twitter, get yourself a free account so that if there ever is an emergency in your area or whatever, you can do these type of things.
Yeah, even in the flooding in Fargo, the last few years, there's been a lot of this road's now closed, this is now changed. Because, you know, when you're working in emergency situations, especially related to weather, it's instantly changing information and the news media can't keep up in the same way that the public can.
So you literally have this army of citizen reporters out there that
We have had reporters pull quotes from comments on stories. So we all are living in a more public age.
I love Twitter for that. I really do. So
that's a great tweet.
All right, we are going to move on because I know nothing about Pinterest. I have an account. I have many followers, and I do nothing with it.
This is good. You have people who love you for nothing.
Yes, that's exactly
we're
right.
We're all working towards that.
So can you explain to me what Pinterest is and to everybody else, and why is it just becoming this huge website?
Yeah, in the most simplest terms, if you think of a big bulletin board, you take off something you print out on the computer and you post it up on your bulletin board with a little pin. Well, Pinterest is built on that concept. It allows you as a user to create a digital or virtual board where you can pin items in categories. So, for example, if you really like tech, you can pin tech gadgets or tech things into a board called Tech Talk or Tech Ranch. I can create a board called I'd Like to Eat That and post recipes there. So you can create these categorical streams of information from things that other people are posting. So much like Facebook and other places where there's a wall of information, Pinterest does that, and then you can repin other people's posts to your boards. And the thing that's become really useful is people who like to craft, people who like to blog or do categories of information can go out there and kind of search through information, look for items or things that they'd want to, and then pin these into their boards for when they have time to get to it or come back to it.
I just, somebody was sharing me an idea they seen on Pinterest just over the weekend, this upside down snowman. Have you seen this?
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, doing like a cartwheel through, and it is just an upside down snowman, and I thought that was very, very cool. And this is what Pinterest is about, is the ability to share these ideas with kind of your followers.
And the cool part about it is, if you remember, there used to be a thing called Delicious, which still exists. It was a bookmarking website. This is like the evolution of Delicious.
Okay.
So now I can not only save the bookmark that I want, but it puts an image to it. So I can go to any website, pin that into my Pinterest board. It grabs a picture of something there that I get to choose and the URL. So I keep that connection back to the original source of material, and then I can go back and look at it or, interact with it later. The newest thing is Pinterest has now evolved, and so you can have private boards. So, for example, we had a gal in our office who got married last year who hated that everything she put into her wedding board, the world could see.
Right.
So now she could make that board private, and they remain private for, I think, a period of time. I think it's like 6 months.
Okay.
But then you could kind of, like, if you're Christmas gifting ideas, you could go out, shop through Pinterest for ideas for people that you want to buy gifts for. Save them so you could come back later and say, oh, that's right, Aunt Margaret really needed a beak warmer. Whatever it might be.
Sure, sure.
So you can do that. And now they're moving into business pages, which is going to create a really new level of interaction with your website. So you'll be able to grab code from Pinterest to pull pins and information you're putting out there. So, for example, let's say you sell a product and you've got a lot of product pictures around whatever that product is. You can now use Pinterest almost like you would a Flickr account to stream information in, but now people would have the ability to repin that information and share it much like you would a post on Facebook.
And is this available right now, or is that just coming out?
Yep, no, they just launched it kind of last week.
Okay.
And so it's relatively new. There's a few steps you need to do, but you can convert any account into a business account. So if you're, the Justin Bieber Pinterest page and you really want to be a business, you can now go out and convert to that.
Okay. So why do people follow you on Pinterest?
Oh, I don't know. I'm pretty random on Pinterest. I think what's interesting is we all like people who are like us. So when you go out to Pinterest, it's really about, hey, she's pinning something I agree with, or I really like that idea or that concept. And it allows us to capture that. Because a lot of us have, if you're like me, it might be a 30-minute window in the evening and you just decide to go out to Pinterest. But some of the things that are out there, you really need more time to consume kind of content-wise. Mm-hmm. But I can say, I like her. She likes this. We like each other. Social interaction had without ever talking to someone.
So when you pin something on Pinterest, the people that follow you, do they get some type of notification that you've made some change to your board?
They don't get a notification unless they've asked for it. But typically what will happen is, much like you think about Facebook, you come out and there's stuff on your wall.
Okay.
Pinterest is the same way. You come in and you'll see a bunch of pins or things that people have put on their boards. So you can see what your friends are doing or what your friends are looking at. So, for example, I can come out and see, hey, this friend is looking at recipes, or that friend right now is looking at travel stuff. And so you can kind of grab lots of different trains of thoughts from one kind of streaming wall of information.
Now, you've mentioned a lot about, crafting and that type of thing, but I'm assuming that there are, Pinterest is literally for anything.
Yeah, so they've got, if you go, they have kind of an all categories thing. So everything from interior design to cool kid gadgets to totally geeky tech stuff. You can go in and just pull streams of that.
Okay.
Or you can go in and search. So if you really want to find a technology device, let's say you're looking for a great app for travel, you could go in and search by that, and it'll look for key terms just like any website would for keywords and find you those posts related to that. So it does allow you to kind of dig deep and segment out types of information. But it really, it got its bread and butter from the crafters because they really got it moving fast.
Sure.
But now McDonald's has a great Pinterest page, and there's a lot of really great tech geek pages, and you can go out and find just about anything you're interested in.
So you really are seeing an evolution from or to business applications on there as well.
I am. I see really where I see social media kind of going is we're now combining that dialogue with visual. We're a very visual creature. That's why digital has grown so quickly.
Right.
So sites like Pinterest that are finding a way for us to not only remember something we want, but to visually capture why we wanted that in the first place, I think is going to be key in the future.
So do you feel like with social media that maybe there's too much business involved? And I know that these websites have to monetize themselves. And of course, you know, attracting businesses to them is a way for them to do that because they get that advertising revenue and that type of thing. But is there a fine line? You know, and I'm kind of going back to Facebook a little bit now. You know, you're talking about the political season. It just seems to get a little too, you know, like
markety.
I guess that would be the word for it. You know,
Anytime you have a good thing, business is going to want to be a part of it.
Right.
The bad part is when we enter, we change the dynamic. And so many of the things you see Facebook doing are to adjust for the entering of that business.
Okay.
And, you know, the college kids didn't like it when the old guys came.
Right.
You know, when the 45-year-olds and the 50-year-olds came in and took over. So yes, social media will continue to change. But I would argue that the entrance of business also makes it better because it gives people access to brands and to companies and to individuals that they haven't had before.
Right.
So it will change and we'll adapt to it. I mean,
the other thing I think you have to look at it is it makes it viable. I mean, can you imagine Facebook, you know, not making any money and then 3 or 4 years ago it would go bye-bye and, you know, all those people who have all those photos and everything else on there that are, you know, and we always talk about don't save your photos on Facebook, but a lot of people do this.
Yep.
If that were to disappear, that would be a very, very bad deal for a lot of people. So having business in there really, really makes those other businesses viable. And you know, it's just like watching commercial TV or whatever. You know, you just have to kind of put up with it, I guess.
We all need each other a little bit.
Yes.
We don't always like it, but we do need each other.
And I actually agree with your analogy. I like being introduced to new products, new ideas, that type of thing. And having those businesses involved kind of brings that along a little bit.
Yep,
so.
And remember, you are asking to be involved with them. If it's too much for you, unlike them, unfollow
that's
them.
That's true.
Get out of
it.
You have control. So that's really the power of social media is you are in control of what you see.
Yep. All right. We just have a couple minutes left here. You know, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us over with social media?
Well, I think everyone, if you haven't had an opportunity to go out there, you're not too old. You're never too young. Check it out. There's a lot out there for you to understand and to interact with. And, you know, Google knows everything. So you can learn how to sign up and get your account.
Yep.
And as Marlo said, even if you're not going to interact with it, don't be afraid to be a viewer for a while. Go out and just see what it is and see what's out there. And, you know, in his example, it might save your life if there's, you know, some weather in the area. But it really is a tool and it's a dialogue. Think about it as a communication tool. It's a way for us to have a new conversation in a new way.
And if you're not part of social media right now, is there one that you would, like, maybe push a person to kind of experience it?
Yeah, if you're scared, go to LinkedIn. It's a great way to just sort of connect. That's that businessy site where you can kind of connect and put your resume and information out. And if you are willing to engage and share some information, Facebook is great. You'll connect with some old high school folks, some friends that you have, and it's a great way to start out small and get a taste for what posting is about and how that interaction happens.
I will say that's probably the biggest thing I like about Facebook is that, you know, my old high school buddies or whatever, we've reacquainted ourselves and that type of thing. So, Sandy, it has been an honor having you on the show today.
Thanks so much.
It's been a great time. And come on back next week, everybody. We will have a brand new guest and a brand new topic. So come on back.